Welcome back, everyone. Next up, we will have Prasad, Technical Solution Architect at Cisco Systems, who will speak on preparing for the data center of the future today. Please welcome Prasad.
Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, I know, coming back after a break, and the room is so cold, not so easy. All right. So quick introduction about myself. My name is Prasad. I'm from Cisco. I'm a solution architect, and my role basically is to work with my customers and my teams across the region on building IT infrastructure for delivering business outcomes. Right? What I'm going to talk to you about is basically the basic infrastructure in the data center. I'm moving away from a bit of software into the hardware state, and the integration that we have done with Microsoft to simplify and drive IT outcomes, right? So that's basically what I'm going to talk about. Now, for many years, Cisco was always been known as a switching and routing company, right? But in the last 5 or 6 years, we've actually changed and moved away from just being a routing and switching company to one that is actually in the data center itself, right? So it's not just about switching, but it's also about compute and storage connectivity and operations and management. Now, the reason why we did this shift and moved away from what was really our core into adjacent areas was we saw there was a definite shift many years ago as customers started deploying virtualization. Right? Virtualization brought about, solved a lot of problems, but it also brought about new challenges because now you had a virtual network, a physical network, and you had two different peoples managing them. Right? How do you remove the gray area in terms of making sure that the physical and the virtual network is one entity and is managed by the right person. And there's no gray areas in terms of, or gaps in your environment when it comes to problem solving in the server platform or the storage platform and the network platform. The adoption of cloud and the movement of cloud is now prevalent, right? 5, 6 years ago, it was a thought process, right? Something that we talked about. But today, a lot of environments we have seen have already started deploying their own private clouds. And there's some in some countries, public and private or the hybrid clouds have actually become a reality. Right? And we expect to see that happening also in countries like Singapore very shortly, where it becomes the standard rather than the exception. So some of these challenges, we saw that coming out many years ago, and we realized that there had to be a different way in how systems are being deployed, how systems are being manufactured, how systems are being designed. We had to take out some of the complexities of the system and introduce new technologies that actually helped you drive and operate and manage the systems more efficiently. Right? And if you look at, I mean, this kind of figures are stuff that you see from every industry analyst today. Your biggest cost in the environment today is usually in operating and managing the environment. Right? It's not just in the CapEx. Right? Things like power, things like space, things like people cost, you know, application software cost. These are the ones that actually drive the cost rather than the basic hardware infrastructure cost. So what we are trying to do is basically build an environment that does not look like this, right? While most other vendors have actually looked at it as how to soup up the existing environment and how to help it deliver new applications and solutions, what we did is a grounds-up approach in terms of taking a blank piece of paper and said, if we had to build an infrastructure for the future, right, now I'm going to build a car for the future, right? One that has fast, that is powerful, and that one gives me great control, and it's easy to operate. And it'll look good, and it should also look good, right? So what we did was something like this, right? And that's, in essence, what we really did. We took a grounds-up approach in redesigning the entire environment, but without taking away the openness of the system, right? So we're not telling you that you need to run new operating systems or new versions of applications. Use standard industry hardware, use standard industry technology, but just make it simpler to manage, operate, and control. So what did we do? Right? If you look at the traditional compute environment inside the data center. Right? Most data centers, the blade platforms are considered as the platform for the future. Now, blade platforms typically are chassis with switches in them, and you have LAN, your SAN switches, you have management modules, power cooling, and you manage that like a mini data center. What we did was look at look at it from a more holistic angle, right? Look at how we can build a more modular approach where your environment becomes less complex the larger it becomes, right? So what we did is a more scale-out design where we removed the concept of having physical chassis-based design, but more modular designs where one pair of switches, literally just one pair of switches, is built to design and run your environment, and your environment can be as large as 160 servers, right? So that's one single domain. So in one shot, what we did was we removed all the complexities of having additional switches, whether it's LAN switches or SAN switches or even management modules. Everything just collapses into one pair of switches. And as your environment scales, you find whether it's rack servers or blade servers, it does not really make a difference. Right? You just have one control plane, whether it's network switching, whether it's the storage switching, or whether it's just managing the servers. Right? Just one control plane, one data plane, and you have the simplicity of just having to manage a single pair of devices, right? Without making any sacrifice on performance or scalability. Now, this is a bit of a marketing slide, but this is one that we actually have to put up in every session that we do. It's one of the Cisco corporate standards, right? We've been in the market now about six years now, and if you look in terms of market share, we've gone from being a 0% player. Today, we have roughly about one in every four systems sold in the world is a Cisco platform, right? And the one thing I really want to talk about is that 100 benchmark records. Now, given that we were a relatively new player in the market, we made sure that every time there is a platform refresh, it goes through testing by all the different vendors, whether it's Oracle or Microsoft or, you know, every different application gets tested and run and benchmarked in the system. And these benchmarks are publicly available. And in every refresh that we have seen, and every time there's a new platform that comes out from all the vendors, invariably you'd find that we are usually at the top in terms of performance. So while the system, we have removed all the complexity by removing a lot of the devices, there has been no sacrifice in terms of the performance and throughput that systems can deliver. And that's something that we are proud of. Now, what have we actually done in terms of making the life or the environment simpler? We brought this term called the unified fabric. Now, that's more of a Cisco term. But what we really did was collapsed all the typical networks inside your data center, right? You usually find that every server would connect to a data network, would have a storage network, and would also have a management network, because you typically don't run your management network and your data network on the same pipe. Now, that meant that every cable that you plugged into the system had a corresponding switch port at the back end. So it increased the number of switch ports you had, increased the number of cables you had, increasing the number of devices that you had to manage, operate, and control. Now, the problem also was, in the network, usually that was heavily underutilized, you also had redundant networks. So it just made the life that much more complex. So we drove a standard many years ago, which is called fiber channel over Ethernet. Right? We added to that, and where we call it unified fab, where we are collapsing all the three networks, data, management, and storage into one single fat pipe. And what you do and the benefit that you get when you do that is you convert your data centers that look like this to one that is a bit more sleeker. Right? Now, this is an extreme case of how a data center would look like, but if you do have data centers that look like this, please come and see me after this, right? And I'll tell you how you can convert it to the one on the right. But in reality, what it was doing was just making life simpler, because this is what traditional rack systems look like. You still had a bunch of cables, you still had a lot of cables, and over a period of time, the cables usually get mixed up and messed up, and you really had troubleshooting and finding fault was a major challenge. Not even looking at the fact that power and cooling challenges was massive, right? Because servers today generate a lot of heat. Right? And to cool systems, when you have so much cables at the back, was a massive challenge. Now, what we really did was move to the extreme right, where by using high bandwidth and larger pipes from every system, you literally are cutting down not just the number of cables that you need, but the number of ports and switches you need. Right? And from what we have seen from what our customers that have deployed the systems, they're talking about anywhere up to 30 to 40% savings, right, on the infrastructure itself. Right, and the larger than, and switchboards and cables are not cheap these days. Right? So that's first thing, that's the first thing that we did. Now, we also made sure that we brought virtualization into the environment. Right? Every facet of the environment, whether it's network was virtualized, the storage connectivity was virtualized, even the server identities were virtualized. Right? So what do you mean by that? In the network, in the moment you virtualized your environment, what you found was the virtual network and the physical network are not the same. Right? Because the moment you have a hypervisor in place, the network behind the physical, the virtual network behind the physical network is not the same. It's something different, right? It's virtualized. It's got its own logic. It's got its own technology. It's not the same concept in terms of how a physical network would look like. So that resulted in environments where you had the server admin managing the virtual network. Right? What we did is work with Microsoft, for example, and we collapsed that. Right, so we collapse the physical and the virtual network so it's presented as one single entity. Now, the benefit that it gives you is now, whether it's your virtual network or your physical network, it is still managed, operated, and controlled by the network administrator because the virtual network now presents itself exactly like a physical network. Right? And in very simple terms, what we are trying to do, if I were to really dumb it down and say as a layman, every virtual network now, or every virtual machine, gets a port on the switch. Right? So it's like a physical port that on the switch. So your network administrator is basically managing that port on that switch. So it doesn't make a difference whether your virtual machine is sitting on host A or B or C or D, or it's connected to a different switch, or it's connected to different application, it makes no difference. Because what the network administrator really manages is that port on the switch, which is exactly what it does in a switch world. Right? So that's how we've really collapsed the physical and the virtual network into one single entity. Right? And we like to call it the software-defined fabric. Right? Given the fact that everybody talks about software-defined data centers today, this is something that we have been doing for the last many years. Now, the advantage that it also gives you is that rather than just control, it also improves your performance tremendously. And because what we are doing now, both from a performance and a control standpoint, because you now have the ability to tie a policy to the virtual machine. You don't have to define, typically in the network world, your policies are always tied to the switch port. Right? It's tied to a physical port on the switch or a physical port on the server. It's not tied to an application. That application today in a virtual world does not stay on the same machine every single day, right? Because it moves around. As your workloads change, as your patterns change, your software will automatically rebalance and distribute the virtual machines to ensure that each one of them gets the right resources, right? Whether it's CPU or storage or network. Now, how do you ensure that the policy flows with the virtual machine every time that it moves? Right? Your SQL database could be sitting on server A today and server B tomorrow and server D the next week. Would you have to go in every single time there is a live migration and go in and change those policies? You could, but it's just going to make that much more difficult for you, right? So by tying the policy to the virtual machine, you are now able to make sure that every time there is a move, the policies flow with the machine transparently without any interaction from the administrator, right? So just not just improving performance, but it's also about improving control and making it make life easier for you guys. Now, as I said, virtual networks, we also made virtual servers. Now, what do you mean by virtual servers? Just the way that virtualization demarcated or removed the dependency of the operating system on the hardware, we removed the dependency of the hardware from the system itself. Right? Every system has an identity. Right? It's like your SIM. So your server has an identity which says which network it connects to, which storage it should connect to, what are the policies that are tied to it, what are the remote KVM IP, who is the administrator, right? The location, the firmware settings, the policy, all that is the identity of the system. Just like the identity of your phone is tied to your SIM, right? Because the number is on the SIM, the identity of the server is now a configuration file. And that configuration file would have all the details in terms of which server it is, what application it's running on, which storage it connects to, what kind of network should it connect to? What policies are tied to that network, right? What are my VLAN configurations? What are my storage policies? Which storage? Which LAN? What's the size of my packet? Right? Who gets the highest priority? Right? If I have got multiple virtual machines on it, who gets the highest priority? All of that is now an identity of a system, and all of that is now a file, a text file, a configuration file. Now, because it's a file, it now gives me the ability to replicate it. It now gives me the ability to move it around. It now gives me the ability to create that file as a template and make that as my golden standard. So I can create application files for my different environments. I have an Exchange environment. So I have a template that defines every time I deploy an Exchange server, these are the policies that my system must have. So every time I have one click and I deploy an Exchange server, I am assured that all my Exchange servers now have exactly the same policy. If I have web servers and I'm running web servers and I need to ensure that web servers follow certain standards, I have a policy for that. So it just makes life easier and ensures consistency every single time you're deploying an application. Right? And the second thing also, it makes life easier that when you want to change a policy, you don't have to go and touch every single system. For example, you have now your Exchange server connected to a storage and you need to change that policy because for the storage policy is changed, you need to move it from one storage to another storage, or you need to change the firmware of the controllers. One click, you change the template, all the systems that are connected get the new policy. Right? So it's not just that from a deployment standpoint, but also making life easier from an operational standpoint and a day-to-day task. Right? And from a management standpoint, now obviously, we wanted to make life easier without having to add more complexity to the system by creating new management stacks. So the first thing obviously was to embed the management into the system, right? So we built in a management capability into the system so that as you bought it, the system was already available in terms of the management capability. There are no agents, there are no software, there are no additional systems that you do need to buy. But a lot of customers were also used to running things with System Center, for example, or Operations Manager, right? So they said, okay, if you bought a new system, now I need to learn how to use your platform. How do I continue to use it with my existing platform, right? And that's where the integration came in. So we worked with Microsoft, right? So we integrated this entire stack so that you can manage it from System Center. So if you saw the video earlier that was playing along, right, where the ING team was talking about how they moved and created this bank-in-a-box environment, is exactly what they did. The integration of the software completely into System Center. So from System Center, they were able, with one click, deploy the servers, set up the policies, set up the storage connectivity, deploy the operating system, application, everything from just one console. So all these smarts, all the command lines or all the scripts are already available in System Center for you today to go and operate and manage it. Right? There's no new task that you have to learn. There's no new skill you have to learn. Everything is already built into the System Center, and all you really need is System Center, to be honest. Right? So we've also made it simpler, right? And obviously for those who are familiar with who are more familiar with a PowerShell tool who needs to use a CLI rather than a GUI, it's also available there for you. Right? For me, honestly, I've been a Microsoft guy for many years, right? So I need a mouse. I can't go CLI and do it, but I do know there are a lot of folks out here who are actually more familiar with running command lines. So it's also a command line interface available for you guys. Right? So there's both a GUI as well as command line available. Now, we did not stop there only with System Center. Right? We also extended the capabilities into the Operations Manager. So if you're also running Operations Manager and you want to have that view of the whole environment in terms of physical infrastructure health, physical infrastructure alerts, if there's a failure and you get a flag that says, okay, this system has got a memory problem, needs to be changed, and you're tracking it from Operations Manager, those capabilities, again, built into the system. Right, so as long as you have Operations Manager and it'll point to the system, it will pick up and display all the infrastructure and the stacks and the servers and the connectivity, and as health, as all the SNMP traps that are generated will be sent to operations manager. So it gives you that single view and the single console from an operation standpoint. All right. So we have been, these are some of the marketing figures that we have, but let me put it more in a more realistic number, right? We always talk about power cost as one of the bigger savings. Now, power costs are not cheap in Singapore, right? It's definitely not cheap in Singapore. If you can save, we're not talking about large amounts, even if you save a 10 or 15% or 20% savings on a single system, imagine the savings that you can make across your environment, right? And all you have to do, and all we have done really, is remove all those redundant elements that are required in the environment. The switch ports, the networks, the cables that all consume power. So even a 10 to 15% or 20% saving is significant, right? So you can imagine what a 50% savings would look like. Now, just to put some context into the numbers, right? What do you think is the power cost in Singapore to run a single system? Just one server at today's power rates without virtualization, just run a small two CPU server, run an application that's going to say 24/7 for 365 and 3 years. What do you think the typical power cost would be? Right. Anybody want to try? Okay, I'll give it to you. At Singapore rates, right? Assuming that it's at today's rates and the rates don't change over the next 3 years, which I doubt, it definitely will change. This is one thing that is going up, right? Power rates. A single system would easily cost you, from a power and cooling standpoint, anywhere between $4,000 to $5,000, just from the power bill. Right? That is the cost. You might look surprised, but that is the cost that you would pay. Now, if you were to look at a system that is virtualized and running multiple applications, which means then you're going to have fatter memories, more CPU cores, more utilization, your power cost can double or even triple. Right? Because if you're using a big, fat, 4-socket system with 1 terabyte, 0.5 terabyte of memory, easily, you're looking at a $10,000 to $12,000 power bill. When you save 10 or 15 or 20% of that, and you multiply that by the numbers of servers that you have, because this is a linear equation, you see where I'm going. And I'm not even talking about 50%. Right? I'm just talking about a bare minimum of 10 to 20%, which is easily achievable. Right? And then obviously you can put a figure into all the others in terms of reduction in the provisioning time, reduction in the cabling, it's all adds up. And that's a huge addition in turn, huge improvement in terms of the TCO. All right, so that's all I had. I want to keep it short. I know we're already running short of time. So I didn't want to go too long and then find that you have less time for your lunch. Right? You don't want to miss your lunch. So just to close, please fill in your feedback forms. Right? If you want to meet any of us, feel free to walk across. We have a booth right across. And if you want to have a discussion with any of our teams out there on some of the topics we've just talked, please feel free to come and meet us, all right? And thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you, Brother.